Yes, good. I'll write a letter to my mother. No, I won't, actually. Nothing of the kind. I don't know why I'm saying that. Singing that. I'll write a letter to the gas man. Dear gas man. No, that's ridiculous. For one thing, a gas man never comes alone. He brings another gas man. So it would have to be dear gas men, wouldn't it? What he usually brings, in fact, is a gas boy. He's the one who leans on the boiler, and when you say to him, "Would you care for a cup of coffee?" he replies, with an old world courtesy refreshing in one so young, two sugars. And then leaves you the dirty mugs to wash up. I think I worry too much. My wife Diana, known to a wide and silly reading public as Magnolia Badminton, always says that I worry too much, and I think she's right. I wouldn't tell her so, but she is. Mind you, we are different kinds of writer, and that's got a lot to do with it. She just dives straight in. That's how she's written two books since Christmas, and all I've done is chapter 9 of Who Killed Bruno Travers. Coming down to cases, you only have to read this letter she left me on the back doormat this morning. Doesn't begin darling, or dear Gerald, dear Mr. Potter, or anything like that. Sam, it says. And it goes on with a total economy of words and ideas. It just says, bread, fish, pots, mush, gas note, wet feet. Couldn't have taken her 10 seconds. And I understand it perfectly. Except that Sam. What does she mean, Sam? Ah, yes. Of course. It isn't Sam at all. It's 3 a.m. That's when she knocked off work. Your message timed at 3 a.m. over and out. And that's another way we differ as writers. We both work unsocial hours, but she works late at night in her little top back room, and I work early in the morning out here in the garden, in my author's type writing hut. I was out here at 6 this morning, and it's now, according to my watch, 6 in the morning. I keep forgetting to wind this thing up. Let's see if anybody knows the time at the BBC.
And finally, a look at the weather for the southeast. All areas will have a fine, dry day of almost unbroken sunshine.
Good. What's the time?
It's very nearly 8:03.
Thank you.
At 9:30 this evening, you can hear all about the courtship displays of the African mudfish. Professor Urchin Colic of the...
Is nothing sacred? Still, it looks pretty good today. Lunch-wise, that is. If I've got to go shopping for bread, pots, mush, and... Funny, I was just going to say the big bonus about early morning writing is no phone calls. British Inland Waterways.
That's just what I don't want. Have you done the papers?
I say you're up early.
You notice things.
Considering you weren't in bed until Sam.
I thought it was a bomb. Sam who?
3 a.m.
I don't know him. I mean the thunder. I was dreaming that I smelled mice. And I was...
And so you do, darling. Nobody nicer.
Mice. And I was practically exploded out of bed.
Well, it could have been part of the dream. Some mice exploding.
Don't tell me you didn't hear it.
I couldn't have. I have the sworn word of a meteorologist with his hand on his seaweed. It's a fine, dry day of almost unbroken sunshine.
What about the newspapers?
I expect they'll say the same, give or take a few isotherms.
To go on the floor for the gas men, I told you last night.
I'm sorry, darling, you'll have to speak up. There's a noise on this roof like rain. I didn't know different.
Newspapers for the gas men!
Then bring their own newspapers.
I said in my note.
They bring their own transistors.
Gas, wet feet, I said. We discussed it all before you went to bed, also the shopping. If you don't put papers down, it's hobnailed footprints all over the kitchen. And you know how hard it is to clean that labour-saving floor covering one wipe and it dazzles. Come in!
Who's there?
I mean you come in. We can't talk like this.
Yes, right. If you don't mind wet feet... Or should I give you a minute to put some papers down?
You always have to be so dogmatic. After all, if you can dream you're riding about Genoa on a tandem with Neville Chamberlain...
Ah, that's different. I didn't dream that I smelt him.
Give me another cup, then I'm going back to bed.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Why not? You would if you'd only had 4 hours sleep.
I don't mean that. I mean that. So you've got me doing it now. Here you are. Here's your...
Thank you, darling. All I can say is that I dreamt I...
Now, look, people don't dream smells. If you smelt mice, you've got mice. Meow. There you are, two against one.
If I were her, I'd keep out of it. When did she ever catch a mouse? Meow. Mind your own business. Well, you better get some things.
Certainly. I'll put it on the shopping list. Bread, fish, pots, mush, gas, note, wet feet. Things.
Anti-mouse things. Pellets. Mm-hmm. I'm going up now. Lunch at one.
Good. Look forward to that. Fish, pots and mush?
Don't get ones that kill them and they pass away under the linen cupboard floorboards. Just stuff that makes them dash off next door into Dr. Giddy's. You'll have to be back at 12, latest. I'm due at the dentist's at 2.
Lovely.
Thank you. I'll be taking the phone off the hook, so
yes,
if you...
Just a moment. Just writing this down. Not floorboards, dash, next door, Giddy. Yes, darling.
So if you have any questions, speak now or forever belt up. And it's no good ringing from the fish shop asking what you're there for.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
You did it last week.
Well, that was because they gave me the third degree in the bread shop. Wanted to know white or brown, large or small, sandwich or tin, sliced or unsliced.
We want a small white cottage.
Right. Roses round the door if possible.
I'm going.
How many fish?
Otherwise it'll be too late. I'm waking up. What do you mean, how many fish?
I got hundreds last week.
That was white bait. This is mackerel. How many of us?
Two.
Well, then.
Heads off.
Heads off what?
Well, off the mackerel. He's bound to ask. The man, the monger. Do I want the heads off, tails off, bones out? Want the heads for the cat, want the bones for the soup. Wrap it in the Times or the Mirror. Oh, well. Oh, hell, what about the note for the gas men? What about the note for the gas men? Come on. There's one thing they'll never level up with the Sex Discrimination Act, that's for sure. Women is a shopping animal, man is not. I get confused in shops, I admit it. Wallpaper? I buy the roll that's sticking out, easy to get hold of. Shoes? Give me a pair like these I've got on, I say to them. But cleaner and the toe caps not split. Diana now. She gets enough wallpaper spread round the shop to paper the North Stafford Hotel, Stoke-on-Trent, inside and out. And then says she'll think about it and leaves them with nothing but a lovely smile. As for shoes, when she's finished in a shoe shop, you'd think they'd been serving a difficult centipede. I mean, it isn't as if she's going barefoot already. Open a sliding cupboard and you're buried in enough cascading footwear to shoe a ladies' luncheon club. Oh, really, come on! She's frugal with handbags, though, I'll say that. I know all six of them just from being called in to make the catches meet. Move it, you big stupid girl! Yes, dear, that was me hooting. Don't waste time looking daggers. Oh, big stupid boy. Sorry. I mean, how can you tell? Love your hairstyle. Talk about the rush of modern life. Anyone I get stuck behind just likes staying in one place. I suppose that's how someone once thought of car radios.
Finally, in Essex, heavy congestion eastbound on the A13 at Newham, between the traffic lights at Beckton Road and the bridge over the River Roding.
Essex? They don't know they're born in Essex. They want to try Haywards Heath and see how it grabs them.
And now it's nearly 11 o'clock.
Liar, get out. 11? Back at 12 and I haven't even got the fish yet. Oh, good, terrific. He's found which one is the accelerator. Standing here with this plastic bag and two mackerel in it, I couldn't decide about the head, so it's one on and one off. In this greengrocer shop that was practically empty when I stopped the car, but every woman in sight trooped in ahead of me just as I got to it, do I look, I wonder, like the creator of the pushiest private eye in the business? The unstoppable Rolf Driscoll, who leaps over airport check-in desks to flag down a moving plane? No. You don't get Driscoll at the back of the vegetable queue, nervously rehearsing his order in case he gets it wrong when the moment strikes. Now then, £3 of King Potatoes Edward. King Edward Potatoes. Kings, please. Skinned, I mean. Three skinned kings.
Come along. Time flies. You can't. You next, sir?
No, the lady with the...
She's in Eileen's queue. You're next in mine. Lovely grapes today. Pineapples?
Well, thank you. Three potatoes, please.
Got your van outside of you? Feeding the 5,000 a day?
three kings. Pounds. Yeah, pounds of Edwards.
Loose or bagged?
Well, I don't...
Touched or mucky?
Does it make
Peeled any... Peeled or... Oh, Gordon! Southern Veg are bringing the jerseys at 12. You'll have to take them crates out the back.
Yes, well, what if I did forget the mushrooms? I wasn't going back in there. Not if they were giving them away. Oh, thank God there's only the bread now. 12:15, and I shall only be half an hour late home. Well, what can you expect in traffic like this? A lot of snowballs. Hope of parking near the bread shop.
Just so last, sorry. Next. Sorry, no spicy buns. Is it Wednesday we get the spices, Lily? Yes, dear. Ordered, was it? Large wholemeal, Mrs. Tuckett, just a moment.
Rolf Driscoll knew very well who was behind this. The empty parking space outside the baker's was no coincidence. This was Korminsky again. When he got back to the car, he'd find it coned off and a girl traffic warden of unearthly beauty.
Can I help you, sir? How many more times?
What? Oh, yes. thank you very much. A small white mouse, please. A house, please. Cottage, I mean. Small white cottage.
Just sold the last of cottages. Do you a small brown fruit loaf, large sliced tin, wholemeal sandwich?
There's nothing you want less when you're heading triumphantly for home, only 40 minutes late and the lunch safely stowed in the boot, than to be suddenly licked on the back of the neck by a dog. Believe me, a man with this much on his mind, not to mention his private eye stuck in Chapter 12 for the bag of scorpions, can get licked on the neck by dogs quite a bit before he catches on. Especially when he knows there isn't a dog in the car. But I'll say this, when he does catch on, it's a great test of the quick braking reflex. Lay off! What is the idea? Oh, and I like this story. What are you doing in the back of my car? Whose doggy are you? All right, dog then. Sorry, I didn't mean to be familiar. Wish I could say the same for you. You absolutely drenched my neck. It was a large animal. The sort that when you see it in the front seat from the car behind, you think it is either driving or a headrest with ears on. More than a touch of sheepdog. One whistle from the boss and it'd have had me out of the car and rounded up in a pen. I didn't like it, but at least I understood it. I saw what had happened. One of these days, when the film rights come rolling in, I'll get a car with a bit of individuality. Find a firm that only makes three a year, two for the oil sheiks and mine. Drive up to a pub, every motorist in the place sucked out like iron filings on a magnet, uttering cries of wonderment. Falling on their knees and kissing the hubcaps. Jobs like the one I have now, I must have seen a couple of dozen that very morning, and nearly all equally blue. Come to think of it, haven't I nearly gotten to a few of them by mistake after all that fluster in the bread shop? And that's what the dog had done. But he hadn't got, because I have these dog-proof handles. He'd been put. Someone or other, probably female, had tired of trailing him round the Emporia, shoved him in the back of her car, which was actually my car, and pressed on rejoicing with no more stops at the lampposts. Well, that was all right for her. Me, I was stuck with him. I'm stuck with this doggy in the window. The one with... Hang on, just a minute. The one with the waggly identity disc. Well, I haven't noticed that. Buried in the undergrowth. What they call a dog tag in the army, don't they? Don't they? Whatever your name is. Come round a bit, can't you? Oh, very dangerous, these safety belts. You could break three ribs trying to read a dog in a car this size. Ah. Oh, Martin, is it? Quite agree. Daft name for a dog. I hate being called Gerald. We have to live with it. Good dog. Good dog, Martin. There we are. Martin. Martin? Mart? Marty? Look, don't do that. You have got a tongue like an old dishcloth. No, all right. Well, somebody's got to tell you, even if I don't. Well, let's see. And you live at... You must be joking. Jellyboy's farm? Well, that's what it says here. Oh, yes. I suppose you realise that that is 9 miles back in the direction that I am not going in. So now what do we do? Well, we did several things before we turned round and headed in the direction we weren't going in. We telephoned our wife, who was upstairs in bed, of course, with the phone off the hook, so the gasman didn't answer either. I didn't mind that, actually. I hadn't fancied explaining things to her. Asking the gasman to explain would have been worse. Ah, yes, hello, gasman. Do you mind telling my wife I'll be late with the fish owing to a dog in the car? Useless. We then telephoned Jellyboy's farm, who were permanently engaged. The next thing was a quiet smoke and a review of the situation. And this is where things went from bad to rotten. I reached into the glove compartment for the cigarettes, and I hadn't got any. What I had got was a rather nice lady's handbag that I had never seen in my life before. Well, I say nice, I mean expensive. But it was in pink crocodile, and as Diana hates pink worse than she hates crocodiles, that was a clincher that it belonged to someone else. It was full of the usual bric-a-brac, practically everything but a cigarette, in fact, which I now needed more than ever. Why? Because things had taken a new and sinister twist. It was no longer a question of the dog being in my car. I was in the dog's. Awkward. Most. The position, as I saw it, was that I had stolen Mrs. Jellyboy's car, dog, and handbag. So unless I could find my car, FHCHJ, she'd be reporting me to the police, and they'd be brushing out an identikit picture of the dog. So it was back to the baker's. Flash, flash, flash with my bionic eye. Instant transfer to FHCHJ. Back home like a rocket, and I can explain everything, darling. But back at the baker's, need I say, FHCHJ wasn't there. So now there was a nasty subplot rearing its ugly head, and it could go several ways. Did I rush round to the fuzz and report my car stolen and get clapped in the interview room for arriving there in a stolen car, with the dog that was posted up outside the station on the dog wanted board? I thought not. Did I go home like a rocket and explain everything, darling? No, 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 no. Too many loose ends for that, and Jellyboy's farm the only hope of tying them up. So that was the answer, such as it was. First stop, the residence of Martin Jellyboy, well-known sheepdog-type dog and nickliger. Mr. Jellyboy, I would say, I can explain everything. And after that would be the time to go home and say the same.
More gin, darling.
I'm getting you more gin, darling.
I mean more than you're getting me.
When are you due at the dentist?
Sharp o'clock two.
Here. I thought that was a new bottle last night.
It suddenly got older. Thank you, darling. Why, you were a missing person.
I was not a missing...
Cheers, darling.
Cheers, darling.
Bloody fool.
Not at all.
Twit.
It was the dog.
That's contemptible, blaming it on Martin.
It was the...
Blaming another dumb animal. I dialed 999 and got on to the fish shop.
We'll write to the telephone manager.
999 first. And the police said, nobody answering your prescription.
Description.
Who's telling this? Then the shops, but they only remembered you at the fish. Because of your two heads, they said. And I said, that sounds like him, I said. And they said, I forget. Blaming it on the dog.
It was worrying about the gas man.
It should have minded its own business.
When I say it, I mean the situation was caused by. Otherwise, I'd never have got into a dog with a car in it. And it wasn't Martin.
That's better. Coming clean now. They're like royalty.
Who are?
They can't hit back. Animals.
The dog wasn't Martin.
You said it said...
Sheila.
You're thinking of someone else.
The dog was Sheila. The farmer told me that.
Mr. Jellyboy.
Mr. Martin. And very embarrassing, if you must know. I finally rushed up his mud lane after being misdirected about 9 times, leapt out, scattering cows, spotted him humping pig swill, and yelled, Mr. Jellyboy, I brought your dog back, Martin. And he said, I'm Martin, that's Sheila, Who are you? Turned out he wouldn't know a jelly boy if he came to the front door with a jelly. Just the name of the farm. So I said, well, never mind, frightfully sorry, but the point is that your wife...
Mrs. Sheila.
No. Mrs. Je... Does it matter? Your wife,
you
I
said... You shouldn't have worried about them.
But I'd got their dog, hadn't I? Not to say the pink crocodile handbag. The point is...
About the gas men. They just put a card through the door saying, called as arranged, regret unable gain egress.
What did they want with an egress?
They couldn't get in.
But I left them a note, damn it!
Left it on the kitchen table, darling. Bloody fool. Have you been putting something in this gin?
Only French and Italian, and ice, and tonic, and lemon, and a plastic swizzle stick emblazoned with the arms and insignia of the Grand Hotel Eastbourne. The point is, I said that your wife has driven off in my car. And he said, oh, but isn't this your car? And I said, no, I said, my car is FHC88J, I said. He walked round the front and he said, but that's what this is. And I walked round and it was. I've been right in the first place, you see. I mean, no wonder I couldn't see it when I went back to the baker's, because I was in it. I must say this farmer took the whole thing like a gentleman. I suppose he was a gentleman farmer. Certainly behaved like one. Blamed his wife entirely for dumping the dog and the handbag in my car. He said she was a very, very dizzy girl indeed. He couldn't have been more courteous. She was quite capable of dumping dogs and handbags in a security corps van if it happened to be around with his back door open. Let's go in and have a drink, he said. She'll come roaring in a minute or two. You'll see, yelling blue murder and saying she's been robbed of Sheila and the handbag. Oh, really? There they go next door at the gables, bonfire the size of Vesuvius, the minute the wind's blowing this way. Heaven's sake. And of course she did. Screeched up, rushed in, started yelling, and he just said, no, 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 you daft woman. You put them in Mr. What-is-its car, you pitiful little giddy nit. And he's very kindly brought them back. Have this nice big whiskey. And she calmed down in a flash. Very good relationship there, I'd say. A lesson for the marriage guidance council. But of course, she said, of course, it must have been when I popped back into the baker's to have a word with Mabel Tilly. I remember now thinking the car seemed to be in a different place. And the rest, as the romantic novelists say, you know. Don't you, darling? Darling? Diana? Miss Badminton. Well, really. As a matter of fact, the rest she didn't know. Even when she woke up. Well, not all of it. Not until she tottered out to the car boot to fetch the ingredients for an extremely late lunch and found nothing in there but a large bale of kettle cake labelled Jelly Boy's Farm. Well, I suppose it was bound to happen. I really had got the wrong car this time.